Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all your faces here today. I just want to start off by telling you one thing. I love Jesus.
Amen.
I love Jesus, and I believe he's given me something for us all to hear. And today I want to talk to you about husbands who are useful to the master. I think I have some experience there. I've got almost 30 years of marriage under my belt. All to the same woman. So I feel good about that, and I hope you do as well. Given this is a topic to husbands, I just want to talk to the men who aren't married here today and say the following things. First of all, when I first started coming to this church back in 1984, all Kirk was doing was preaching on family and marriage and everything, and, you know, took me 3 years to find a wife, so, you know. But I took notes, and I listened to what he had to say, and I took that with me whenever I got married. And I want to say this in particular to those who are not married, is the habits you establish in your single life, you take forward into your married life. All right? You can do whatever you want with that, brothers. But I'm telling you, the habits you establish before you're married, you bring that over into your married life. All right, I'm talking to men here, right? I know how men are because I'm a man. All I need to do is mention football, and all of a sudden, you know. There was a closet Dallas Cowboys fan here somewhere.
Oh, he left.
Oh, yeah. All right, God bless you, brother. God bless you. That was my team in high school. God bless you, brother. I appreciate Browns fans because they are people of faith. But you know something? There's something that wells up in the heart of men when you talk about football. There's something that wells up. And I think it's because God has put into man a warrior spirit. God has put into man a warrior spirit. Now, I challenge any of you men who are married here today, if somebody were to attack your wife. That's what we're talking about here, brother. You'd be all over that person like ugly on an ape. You would knock them in the next week. In Jesus' name, of course. All right? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about here. You've got that warrior spirit. God has placed that within us as men to provide and to protect our families. That is how we are built. That is how we function. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Your wife has an enemy. Your wife has an enemy, and his name is Satan.
Amen.
And Satan wants to destroy your wife. And you know something? Satan is going to let you do the work for him if you let him. Satan is going to use you if you let him, because his tactics is very simple. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. I remember when I was first coming here, and I'd get together in a men's group, and invariably men would start complaining about their wives. And I'd be a single man. I'd say, man, you guys all want me to get married, and all you ever do is complain about your wives. What's up with that, right? You know, we got to realize that your wife is not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. So I want us as men to be in the right fight, to be in the right fight. Our battle is, as men, is not against flesh and blood. It's against the powers of principalities and powers of the air, a.k.a. Satan and his minions, not against your wife. And if you're taking notes, this is Revelation number one. Your wife is not the enemy. Satan is. So the tactic of the enemy is to divide and conquer. And I would like to leave you with some things that I believe the Lord has given me to share with you about that, that will help you keep that from happening. And I'm going to use Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 25 as a backdrop. You don't have to look it up. It's right there on the overhead. It says this: husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor. Listen to this. without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. I'm just going to put the brakes right there. I know you all want me to get to verse 33, but if you don't get verse 29 down, you don't deserve to do verse 33. You with me, brothers?
Yeah.
All right. So we're talking to the right crowd here. Listen, there's a couple things I really want to talk to you about. Two things, really. And if you get this down, we'll do really good. And I don't have a lot of time here, so we're just going to cut right to the chase. Number one, nourish. We're supposed to nourish our wives. You know, and you know, right away we think of feeding. Well, I'm going to stretch that a little bit. Nourish really means to bring to maturity. You know, I've been around the block a few times. Can you tell? All right, I've been around the block. Maybe not as around the block as some of you guys, but I've been around the block a few times. I've heard a thing or two, and I've heard men say, "I wish I had that man's wife rather than the wife I got." I've heard that said. I wish I had that man's wife rather than the one I got. Well, I tell you something, folks. You don't want that man's wife, because if you had that man's wife, you'd turn her into the wife you currently have. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying here? Your marriage is an investment. That's Revelation number 2. You can write that down. Marriage is an investment. But you know this, right? You all know this. I'm talking to the saved here. That's good. Matthew 25, verse 14 through 15 says this. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Speaking about God here. To one he gave 5 talents, another 2, to another 1, each one according to his ability, and then he went away. I believe God has given you your wife.
Right.
As an investment. As an investment that you can invest in and do something with. God has entrusted you with your wife. Return to the Lord on the investment he has placed in your keeping. Return to the Lord that investment. How do I do that, Paul? Let me give you some practical suggestions. First of all, pray with your wife. Men don't like to pray with their wife. It's hard to pray with your wife because she knows you. And she knows when you're blowing smoke. I'm telling you, just do it. Just do it. Just pray. You know, just get down and pray with your wife. And I'll tell you something. When you pray with your wife, you poke Satan right in the eye. And let me use this as a suggestion, too. Something come up, pray right away. You know, when you're with a group and somebody brings up something, you know, we all should pray about that. Just stop right there and pray, because otherwise you're going to forget. Pray right away. So you got a problem, your wife's fretting about the oil bill or the gas bill or whatever. Hey, let's pray about that right now. Take it right on your knees right then and there. Pray with your wife. Another thing, read your Bible with your wife. When my wife was alive, we were going through the book of Psalms, and we went through psalm after psalm after psalm. And Psalms is a great book. It's a worshipful book. There's a lot of good stuff in the book of Psalms. If a book of Psalms is a little bit too long for you, you might want to start with the book of Proverbs.
Right.
Read a chapter out of Proverbs every day. Let's see, what is today, the 12th?
Right.
Read Proverbs 12. You got 31 Proverbs. And after a month, you do it again, all right? Another thing, invest in your wife in terms of her involvement in the kingdom. You want her to grow in the kingdom of God. I remember one time my wife came up to me and said, I believe the Lord has told me that I should stop dyeing my hair. Now, my wife was prematurely gray, and I liked the blonde hair. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm going to like my wife, you know, with gray hair. So I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be an easy one. Oh, yeah, I'll pray about that, honey. I'm in a Bible study, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, let her not dye her hair so that she can learn to hear my voice. Came back from Bible study, honey. God told me you can stop dyeing your hair. That's true. That's a true story. You know, I was fretting about her hair. You know what? Later on, God taught me not to fret about her hair anymore at all. That's another story. But, we'll get to that some other day because I only got 20 minutes here. All right. You got to invest in your wife. Keep in mind, especially if she's raising young kids, she's a tutor, she's a guidance counselor, she's an assistant coach, she's a medic, she's a housekeeper, she's a psychologist. She is influencing a whole generation of people. Invest in her in that. Find out what makes your wife grow. When the little ones grow up and are out of the house, she can then affect another generation of grandchildren. So invest in your wife by meeting her needs. And this is where you take a 2x4 and hit Satan right upside the head. How do you find out what your wife's needs are? How do you find that out? How do you find out? Two things. First of all, ask her, because she'll tell you.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Revelation. You want to find out what your wife's needs are? Ask her. That's one, number one. Number two, you won't get it. You won't get it because, quite frankly, if you had to ask her, you would have gotten it already. But here, I got a remedy for that. Hang on to your hats. If you would get it, you'd be doing it now. Let me tell you a little story. There's a guy that owned a grocery store. And every day he'd go to the market and buy fresh fish and bring it to his store. And he'd wrap it up and he'd place it in the coolers. And one day this, you know, put a lot of work into that. And then one day this lady came up and said, "How come you don't sell fresh fish here?" And in his heart, he's going to say, "We are selling fresh fish." But he counted to 10. And he said to her, "What does that look like to you?" She says, "You know, fresh fish, where you got a blanket of ice and the fish are all laid out." And the guy is listening to her heart rather than her words. And all of a sudden it realizes he's spending all this time packaging fish, making it look good. And all she wants to do is pick it off a piece of ice. Guys, listen to your wife's heart, not to her words. Because words, oh yeah, we know how we are as men. I can argue with words. Listen to her heart. When she goes to tell you what she needs, ask her, "What does that look like to you? How does that play out? How does that pan out?" All right. So one, we got nourished. We got nourished down. We're good? How are we doing on time there, brother? All right, good. All right, we're tracking here really good. All right, we're gonna talk about cherish. What does cherish mean? Literally, it means to warm, to brood. A lot of translations have to care for. Let me say this right out the gate. When I was growing up, I heard this, the phrase marriage. It's a 50-50 deal.
Right.
Anybody ever hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lie from the enemy. Just forget that one.
That's right.
Just forget that one.
Yeah.
And then I believe, before I got married, that marriage was 100%, 100% deal. All right? You know, everybody's putting in 100%. After I got married, this is what I learned. Marriage is 100% deal. That's it. It's 100% deal for me. Because if I say 100%, 100%, I'm worried about what she's doing. I'm not supposed to worry about what she's doing. I got to worry what I'm doing. And if I'm doing my 100%, that's what God's called me to do. So marriage is 100% deal. So when you realize that and cherish her, you're going to take a stick and whack Satan right upside the head. All right, 1 Peter 3, verse 7 says this, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel." Now, weaker meaning in physical strength. "Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers won't be hindered." Guys, if we're not taking care of the honey at home, prayers are going to be hindered.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I don't want my prayers hindered.
Amen.
Do you want your prayers hindered? Right. If you don't want your prayers hindered, you need to take care of things at home. I'm going to illustrate that with a story. All right, so there's this missionary whose ministry was to a small community of tribes in Africa. I got this off the internet, so it must be true.
True.
All right. All right, this tribe had a quirky tradition in that when you chose a spouse, You had to pay the dad of the girl a cow. Now, if it was an average, got you, brother, if it was an average girl, or maybe even a little bit below average, you may get by with just one cow, all right? If she was really nice, it might cost you a couple cows, because, you know, there's other guys out there bringing the cows in. And you're tying off the cows onto the fence, and you're looking around saying, that guy's only got one cow, I beat him because I got two.
Right.
If she was an exemplary woman, whew, three cows. All right. Well, there's a young lady named Salima. She was not the prettiest girl in the village. In fact, she was plain and skinny. She was also shy. She walked with her shoulders hunched and her head down, looking at the ground. She was actually older than many of the girls who were already married. Surely she would only be a one-cow bride. However, there is a young man named Daoud, and his family was from a faraway village, and he came to seek her out as his wife. What surprised everyone in the village that even though he could have gotten her easily with one cow, two cow would have been extravagant, three cows would have been out of this world, he came with five cows to get this young lady as his wife. All right, later on, Salima's younger sister made the long journey to the village to visit her sister. She could not believe her eyes. Salima looked beautiful and confident. Her sister asked Daoud how this had happened. He said this, I wanted to give my love to a five-cow wife. So I treated her like a five-cow wife. And now she believes she is a five-cow wife worth more than any other woman in my village. She's like a jewel. Can you do that, guys?
Yeah.
I don't care where you're at in your marriage, how far along you are, you can start right now.
Right.
You can start right now. Ephesians 5, verse 31 says this, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. All right? The two will become one flesh. And basically what it is you're combining yourselves together for life. One flesh means we stick with the person for life. All right? You know, when we talk about a married couple, we're talking about a couple. But really, there'll be one flesh. So look, if you only got to have one wife, make it count.
Right.
One wife for a lifetime? Gentlemen, make it count. And when you do, you're going to give the enemy a black eye. All right, some of you guys know my situation. My wife died a year and a half ago. I get to go home to an empty house, but you don't, right? So you can work on this. You can do this. Amen, men?
Amen.
So we are useful to the master when we are effective husbands. Amen?